Welcome to the Canvas Rebel podcast, where we believe your story matters. Your viewpoint and your insights matter. In our view, there is far too much coverage of the trends that ivory tower professors and billionaire fund managers are seeing. What's the edge in hearing the billionaire consensus view over and over again? The edge comes from hearing new perspectives and new information, like from the wedding planner who's worked with hundreds of couples during the pandemic and has noticed that new couples are allocating significantly more of their wedding budgets on small details like personalized neon signs, or hearing from an accountant who's seeing how there is a huge uptick in e-commerce clients generating revenue from in-person pop-ups. Those sorts of insights are what Canvas Rebel is all about. And today, Madison is chatting with some of our content partners about trends and lessons learned. Content partners help us in so many ways, from sponsoring our mission to spreading the word about the work that we do and collaborating with us on content like this. And so with no further ado, here's Madison with today's panel.
Hi, everyone. My name is Madison. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of our podcast talking about entrepreneurship, empowerment, and impact. I have two very, very intelligent and talented female entrepreneurs here with me today to share a little bit about their background and hopefully a lot of wisdom in their field of work. So let's get started with some introductions.
Hi, I'm Maria Engelhardt, owner of Maria Engelhardt Virtual Assistant Services, based out of Tampa, Florida. We specialize in creating small business processes. Kind of, you know, we all have something like planned in our head what we would like our processes to look like, but a lot of small business owners just live a chaotic life. So they don't actually have anything implemented and like automations in place for those duplicated steps, if you will. Yeah. So we kind of help create those and actually enter them into a system called HoneyBook or other CRM systems to kind of automate those duplicated steps that don't need handholding. And I just kind of help them create those processes. We also do offer social media. And yeah, that's about it. We just kind of help kind of drown out the chaos for small business owners.
That's so important.
Yes. I love that because there's so much chaos. My name's Mandy McGowan. I'm the owner and founder of Elevating Profits, based out of the Denver, Colorado area. We do all things finance with business owners. So we come alongside them and help them understand their numbers, intentionally create the profit margins that they're looking for. We do that through profit coaching, bookkeeping, some profit and cash flow strategy work with our clients, but just really anything on that finance side that allows an entrepreneur or a business owner to kind of step forward in their business and be really confident that it's going to give them what they set out for it to give them.
Yeah, I love
that. Which is super important for small business owners, because I could remember when I first opened my business, I'm like, okay, so how much do I put aside for taxes? Because I was totally a corporate girly, right?
Yeah.
How much do you spend on marketing? How do you divvy your money up? And gosh, yeah. And
or even just like the basic of like, how do I price my services so I'm competitive in the market, but also profitable?
Yeah.
Right. 100%. And you know, a lot of small business owners, I'm sure you hear a lot about this, but like when they first start, they're like, I just want to be $20,000. But they're not thinking about all these deductions that come out. And then you're like, okay, maybe I'm only making $10 an hour if I price myself that way. Yeah, it gets kind of crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to think about the realistic big picture, which not everybody enjoys doing. That's not the fun part, but that's why we hire people like both of you to help us with that, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey. Did you always know you wanted to work in this specific field, or was this something that kind of came along later in life? I know, Maria, you said you were a corporate girly. I also was a corporate girl, so I can relate to that. But yeah, tell me a little bit more about that.
For me, no. I was always one of those people. I was like, so until I was 10, I lived in New York City, and like working in the city and all of that was like a dream. So corporate girly, right?
Yep.
That was always what I had in my mind. My dream was to be self-sufficient, to support myself and not depend on anyone. That has always been my dream. So corporate was always my vision. And I was a property and casualty insurance agent for like close to 15 years. And obviously corporate life has changed quite a bit over the years, and I personally was not a huge fan, right? And then, like, we had some family stuff going on, and then I'm like, I have to choose between my job or my family? Absolutely not. Like, this is not happening. My family will always be there. A job can change overnight. Like, that was ultimately, like, the deal breaker for me. So no, entrepreneurship wasn't always in my mind, to be honest. But then once things started changing and evolving within the corporate world, I was like, I have to do something. Yeah. I want to do something that I'm passionate about, but I also want to be able to balance my family and work, right? So how can I have best of both worlds?
Right.
And so I took some time off work, several months actually, and I just started digging YouTube, YouTube, YouTube. I was like, okay, what can I do? And one thing I just kept coming back to is I love helping people. Like, that gives me, like, satisfaction, fulfillment. And so I was like, okay. So then the pandemic happened, right? So I reached out to a lot of small business owners that I personally know. And I was like, okay, so tell me about, like, your business. What could you use help in? Where do you struggle? And I kind of just did my own market research. And that's what I did. And then I came across VA work. And a really dear friend of mine, Saba, she also got laid off during the pandemic. She was in hospitality. And so I met up with her and we were talking and she's like, oh, so I'm a VA. I'm like, oh gosh, is this one of those schemes? Like, that was my initial reaction because I'm like, I'm not into this.
Not the pyramid scheme, not the multi-level marketing.
Exactly. So I picked her brain. She's like, oh, so I took this course. And I'm like, okay, so what do I have to lose? I have some time off work. I have nothing but time right now. So I took this course, which was fantastic. I feel like it was because I didn't know anything about being in this space. Mm-hmm. So it was very robust, a little too robust for me, but I just took chunks and then researched them at my own pace. And that's what I did for 5 months. And then I was like, you know what? I talked to everybody and anybody that would listen to me. And I'm like, so I'm opening up my business. Literally, I started with my laptop, a post-it note, and a pen. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was going to do it. Yeah. And I was determined. I left my job after almost 15 years with one client. That was challenging. Went from a corporate salary to $350 a week. But I was like, I'm going to do it. And I'm determined.
Yep.
And best decision ever.
Yes.
Best decision ever. I've never been happier. And now my husband also owns his own business. He's corporate as well, but he owns a travel agency. So we actually get to travel and I don't have to ask my boss. I can leave.
Yes. That is so wonderful. I love that.
It's great.
How about you, man?
So for me, I think I've always, even from the time I was a little girl, there's always been this like entrepreneurial like fire in me. But I don't think I realized it until a little later. So I'm the first entrepreneur in like the history of my entire family. Like everybody thought I was crazy. Like they've all got jobs. They all work for the man. Like that was safe. And so I actually started, thinking I wanted to be a nurse and figured out really quickly, like as much as I love helping people, that was not the way I was supposed to do it. My heart could not shut. Like I couldn't find that balance between being compassionate and like shutting off the emotion when you lost a patient or something like that. So it was like, nope, not for me. And so I fell into the finance and tax world completely by accident, worked my way through a couple companies in that space, and landed with a company in Boulder, Colorado, that when I was working there, I was pregnant with my second kid. The gentleman who owned the company approached me and he's like, I'm shutting everything down. I don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant and you're firing me. He's like, no, I'm not firing you. He goes, I wanted to let you know because I want to funnel my business over to you and help you start your own business. And I was like,
whoa,
you mean you're going to give me a paycheck while I get to build this thing on the side? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, great, let's do it.
That is so incredible.
Yeah. Right? So really, really lucky in that sense of like being able to collect a paycheck for a year while building up everything and transferring things over to me and having his support and his guidance, which was really, really awesome. And then that was, oh geez, that was 15, 16 years ago now that I went full-time into my own business. So that's kind of where I started. And I think there have definitely been days where I'm like, you know, going to get a job might be a little easier because I could totally shut my brain off at 5 o'clock at the end of the day. And then to Maria's point, like there's days that I'm like, I could never go work with the flexibility of being able to go get my kids if they need something or attending their school functions or being like, you know what? Like, I just want to take a day off in the middle of the week next week. I'm just going to rearrange a couple things and block a whole day off and take it. And if I need to work on Saturday morning for an hour or two to make up for it, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Like that flexibility piece is huge.
Absolutely.
100%. What was like a turning point for me is 10 years ago this year, actually, my mom had cancer. And she had to have surgery. And so I asked my boss, I was like, hey, I need the day off for my mom's surgery. And she was like, oh yeah, business needs. So I took it up to the director. And she was like, yeah, I'm sorry, it's business needs. And I'm like, business needs mean nothing to me, to be quite honest. I won't be here. So if you need me, I'll be at the hospital, like with my mom. Absolutely not. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like here, I don't have any children, but like, you know, my parents, my in-laws, my sister-in-law, my brother, my niece, like they're our lives. So like, yeah, we're going to choose them always. Right.
Yep.
So yeah.
And I think that's crazy. So crazy to me because I have employees and I have team members and like, I have one right now who's like one of my most critical employees this time of year. And she's been out for 3 weeks because her dad's in the hospital with a heart condition. And I'm like, no questions asked. Like family absolutely comes first every 100%. Single day, all the time. Yeah. I could never imagine being that boss that was like, oh, I'm sorry. No, I actually need you here.
Yeah. And then like also being a boss myself in the corporate world, I worked remotely, but the company I worked for, I was working for a Texas office actually. And so part of my job, I don't remember how many hours. So let's say 10 or 11 hours a week, literally I was ordered to spend, and you're not even going to believe this because it's absolutely insane. I would have to spend that amount of time on my employees and watching their computer and where they clicked, what their IM said, all of that, like monitoring every single thing that happened on their computer. And I was like, are we in kindergarten here? Like, what's going on?
That is nuts. Like, I've always been more of the mentality, like every single employee I've ever hired has been on salary. I'm like, I don't want to track hours. I don't want to monitor things. I'm like, if I give you 40 hours worth of work and you finish it in 25 and it's done,
that's
right,
your business.
Great. I don't care what you do with the rest of your week. Yes. As long as our work's getting done and like clients aren't suffering because you're taking time off. I'm like, you're getting paid 40 hours. I'm not punishing you if you get really, really efficient and good at your job and you can do it in 20.
Exactly.
Correct. And if it takes you 60 that week, that's your issue too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And it's just, it's insane. Like what everything is monitored and everything's about a number. And I'm with you. Like the girlies on my team, like, I'm just like, hey, as long as it's done by this date, I don't care if you do it at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, up to you, whatever works for you.
Yeah. I could speak on that literally forever, you know, with coming from a corporate background. I fully believe that we are called, there's more to life than working 40 hours a week and working a 9-to-5 and clocking in and having my computer monitored. People who are happy in their jobs and feel fulfilled will statistically live a longer life than those who are, you know, falling for the corporate lifestyle. And I did that. Yeah. And I've been there. And now it's amazing to work for a company where they're like, oh, you know, need to take a mental health day? Great. How can we be there for you? Yeah. It's not like, oh, well, can you take a mental health day in 6 days, like 6 days from now? Because that's when it works with our schedule. And it's like, actually, no, I need to know.
Sorry, my mental health doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, right. I would love to schedule that
can
out.
Can you just
that would
not have a breakdown for 6 more days, please?
Yeah. Right? Like, pencil in my panic attack next Tuesday. Jeez. Anyways, yeah. I could talk on that forever.
Yeah,
well, and talking
well,
about
I think to your point there, Madison, I'll just add that like I've even noticed like giving my employees that flexibility of being able to say, like, if you don't want to work on a Monday and you want to work on Saturday instead, go for it. Like one, they're so much more productive because they're able to balance their life with their work. And it's not building their life around their work. Like all the time, I'm like, no, life comes first. Like you are most of my staff's moms. I'm like, you're a mom first, you're a wife first, like you're all these things. And then you're an employee here. Like this is not your primary title, but like when they're happier, they do better work. When they're happier, they're kinder to the customers and the clients. When they're happier, they're nicer for me to work with when we're dealing with something stressful. I'm like, it's a win-win everywhere. And I wish more big box corporations would realize that.
Yes.
And they give more.
Yes.
They give
more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So Sorry, I know you want to move on.
No, you're good. This is what it's all about.
So, like, I worked for this company, and by the time I left, I had like almost 8 weeks of vacation. Sounds wonderful, right? And so people that are looking for jobs, I'm like, if a company gives you 8 weeks freely, like upfront,
wow,
there's a reason. And if I tell you 8 weeks wasn't enough and I only worked a 4-day schedule, if that doesn't tell you enough, like that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Huge red flag. So, and anyway, that's all. I just wanted to kind of put that in there.
Yes. Oof. I feel you on that. Well, let's talk a little bit about business advice. If you could go back and tell your younger entrepreneurial self one key piece of business advice, what would that be?
Oh, I can totally talk on this one. I would say do it faster would be my advice.
Ooh,
like okay. I think as a young entrepreneur, as a new entrepreneur, not even young, but young in the entrepreneurial space, I think we step in kind of like infants and toddlers where we crawl and then we learn to walk, which is very, very important. However, I probably would have crawled a little faster and learned to walk a little faster and done things mm-hmm. a little faster, because some of the best shifts in my business, some of the best outcomes financially, professionally, personally that have come from my business have come from doing the big scary things and just jumping in and getting them done.
Yep.
And I think in the first couple of years, I was always like, no, I can't do that. No, I'm not there yet. Nope. Where I'm like, had I just dove in and done things faster, I probably would have learned a lot faster. And therefore, I would have been able to shift things to where I'm at today faster.
Yep.
So like putting your fear on the back burner.
Yeah,
like,
not don't necessarily allow putting it on the back burner, but feel it and do it anyways. Like just do right. it, even though the fear is there and the trepidation and the hesitation and the itty bitty, you know what committee in our head. Like despite all of it, like just do it faster. Not to say work harder, do more, but just go after those goals and those big things and those things that you're like, I'm not ready for that. Like do it now, because we're never ready for it. So just do it and mm-hmm. learn along the way.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Very well said.
Really good point. I would say embrace failure. Failure is not a setback. It's a setup for a comeback. That's the way I look at it. So like, and I'm sure any of us can attest to this, right? When you open up a business, you're going to have some failures. You're going to be like, I can't believe I messed that up. But that's okay, because now you know next time that's not going to happen that way. Now you have a plan in place, right? I would also say network. Your net worth is your net worth. So start building it yesterday.
Yeah.
I think that's super important. Your face being known, your voice, building that trust within your community, whether that be the online space community, your actual physical location. And then the third part I would say is self-care.
That's huge.
You can't pour from an empty cup, right? So balance is your best friend. So I know in the beginning of business, even though my hours were set, let's say Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, but people were messaging me at 7 a.m. or 7 p.m., 11 o'clock at night, I was still responding and not building those boundaries.
Oh.
Not everything's an emergency. You know, and
yes.
You train people how to treat you.
Yep.
I am someone who will 100% run for you if you need help, but I was running for everything that could have waited for tomorrow. So I would say choose self-care. If there is an emergency, fine. But if it's not truly an emergency and something that can be handled in the morning, we're not responding at 11 o'clock at night.
Exactly. Those healthy boundaries, so important. I used to work for a social media marketing agency, and then my corporate background, I worked in B2B marketing at Yahoo. And I would literally say, we work in marketing. It is not an emergency. Like nothing, right. Like, you have a change you want made on your social media post. Like you should not be calling me. I had a client, I'm going to expose them. They called me on Christmas Eve night.
What?
On Christmas Eve, because they wanted to make changes to their content that we had scheduled to go out on Christmas Day. And that was December 2022. And that was when I was like, look, I'm done. I'm setting up healthy boundaries. Like, no, when I'm off, I'm off. You can't reach me. I'm going to delete my work email from my phone. Like, girl, you literally have 100 followers, like, and you're calling me and you need to change this post. It's like a Facetune selfie. Like, let's be for real right now.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yes. I love that you said, Maria, that you teach people how to treat you, because that is a lesson I've learned along the way. Very similar to both of you. I used to respond to everything all the time. Like, everybody had my cell phone number. And now most of my clients still have my cell phone number because it's just the easiest way to get in touch with me.
Definitely.
But like, sure. I literally have a message that has sat in my inbox for 6 days on my phone, and I responded to her and I'm like, yeah, I will deal with that next week on Friday when I have it scheduled. And she's like, yeah. Oh, but I would like it to be done sooner. And I'm like, great. But when we set this agreement, I told you this is when I would do it. And that's the first opportunity I have.
Yeah.
And she hasn't come back with anything. Like, she's not upset, but it's holding that piece of like, yes, like, you are my client. But I love the fact that you said emergency, because I am a firm believer, like, there's not really many emergencies in business that we don't see coming. So your lack of paying attention is by no means my responsibility to fix.
Yep.
Right. Your lack of planning doesn't constitute an emergency for me. Sorry.
Yes. Say it again for the people in the back.
Yes. Your lack of planning does not constitute an emergency for me. My apologies.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I was just going to say, we've talked about this on a few episodes last year, but I don't know who came up with this or where I first heard about it, but there's like it's like a triangle. You can have things good, fast, or cheap, and you can only pick two. So if you want it really good and really fast, the work is not going to be cheap. It's going to be very expensive. If you want it cheap and fast, it's not going to be very good. So I always try to, remind my clients of that. Like, you can only pick two. You can't have it the highest caliber work on the quickest timeline at the lowest price point. That's not going to happen. Something's got to budge. So pick your two most important ones and we'll take it from there.
Yeah. And I think even as entrepreneurs and business owners, like, picking the two that we pivot off our business off of is also important, because I'm like, I know we're good and we're fast. We are not cheap. And I have people all the time that'll call up and they'll want a consult, and I tell them my pricing and they're like, oh, that's way more than I expected. And I'm like, okay.
Cool.
Like, I don't bet on it, because I'm like, no, I know that we produce really good, timely work. Like, I'm not discounting our rates because you think I'm expensive. Like, there's somebody else out there for you.
Yes.
Right. And they're not your people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're a Walmart shopper or Target shopper, Target's more expensive, but you might have different quality of things or a different style than Walmart. Not that one's better than the other necessarily. It depends on your preference. But if you prefer Target style, you're going to spend a little bit more.
Yeah.
And if style is not important, you're going to go to Walmart to save the dollar.
Yeah.
So they're not your people.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And I remember early in my journey, like, the ones I did budge on price for, the ones that I like cut them a deal, like, those were the biggest pain in the butt clients ever. Like, they wanted things all the time. They were always blowing up my phone. And I'm like, good golly, like, no, like, we accounted, I adjusted my price. And now you spend all of the time you pay me for just texting and calling me to ask questions.
100% every time.
Yeah.
100%.
So, I learned the hard way. I don't adjust prices for anybody. If they tell me I'm too expensive, I'm like, okay, great. Here's somebody else you can call.
Yes. And that's so important. Having a roster of people that you can refer elsewhere. Even as a photographer myself, like, they'll say, oh, you know, that price for a branding session or for headshots is a little bit out of my price range. I say, okay, no worries at all. Like, I'll be here if you change your mind. Here are some other amazing photographers who are at a lower price point, who I feel still do amazing work, and I would love to connect you with them. And I always refer elsewhere because I do know people in the industry who are still up and coming and still building their portfolio, and or maybe, you know, they're in a tight financial situation and pressed for cash and they want to bring in some clients quickly. So I always refer elsewhere, but we are almost out of time. I feel like we could just keep talking forever. We're all so passionate about the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, if I can add one thing to what you just said that came up in my brain as you were saying that, Madison, I've always heard, and I live by this, the most dangerous place as a business owner to be is the middle of the road. So you either want to be on the cheap end or inexpensive end, however you want, or you want to be on the high end. That middle of the road, you get lost in all the traffic. And that's where I work with my clients a lot when I'm like, you're not standing out because you're not doing anything and you're getting lost in all the noise of your industry because you're just walking down the middle of the road in between everybody else.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so, a good point.
I'm going to have to take some notes after this and like write down all of the tidbits of wisdom you have shared. What a great conversation and a great way to kick off my morning too. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have to do a part two and keep talking about all this.
I'm totally in. I really enjoyed this.
Amazing.
I feel like we could have a series going here.
Yes. No, literally. Like, let's talk about let's talk about boundaries with clients. A whole podcast just on that.
I know. I would love to be like on a podcast of like breaking the golden cup in corporate. Like I could go on for days. I feel like, oh my God.
Yeah, for sure.